Okay, so when I go out to eat these days, I do not use the restroom anymore. It's that sign. You all have seen the sign, right? Well, I actually read the sign and I did it. You know, the one that says employees must wash hands. And I waited 30 minutes for somebody to come and wash my hands. I can't tell if you're smiling, but I hope you got that. That's a great one. Okay, there was a sign. And these are actual signs. These are people. These are some grammar issues. But a sign that was near this area that said, "Hunters, please use caution while hunting pedestrians using walking trails." They could have used a comma, you know. That's right. Or the one that in a restaurant that said, "Tables are for eating customers only." Yeah, I like that. But one of my very favorites is when you try to explain comma use to somebody and you say there's a world of difference between "let's eat grandma" or "let's eat grandma." Get it? Yeah. What you did just a minute ago, these comforting words of the Lord's, of the Good Shepherd, the 23rd Psalm, as I listened to it, it occurred to me that many times we state that first statement without a comma. We just read right through it. It's like, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's a comma. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But you read it like, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I don't want the shepherd. You get it? Get it? We just kind of go over the comma sometimes. We run it together. Maybe for you, that might be closer to the right way to say it than to use the comma. Maybe it's more appropriate for many of us at certain times in our lives. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I mean, why shouldn't we want the shepherd? Especially since he's supposed to be taking such good care of us. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." I really want Jesus to be my shepherd because I am told that when I am lost, he will look for me. And that when I am in danger, that his rod and his staff will comfort me. I want Jesus to be my shepherd because he promises his sheep eternal life, because he promises that we will never perish. And as the 23rd Psalm puts it, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I love that thing. I love all of that. But I think that all of us here today want all of that. We want a God to watch over us, to protect us, to bless us, to seek us out whenever we go astray, a God to comfort you when you hurt, a God to heal when you are ill, a God to walk with you when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, a God to bring you into paradise when you die. I want this. You want this. I think everyone wants this. Am I right? But it doesn't always work out that way, does it? I mean, right when you need it the most, sometimes it seems like the presence of the shepherd is a long, long, long way away. I mean, why is this so hard? Why is this so hard to experience faith? I mean, look around you today. In a normal summer, this would be a little bit less than our normal attendance. And even in our best days, when we are full and people are here in large numbers because there's no COVID and everybody's in town, even then, the vast majority of people choose this time to have an extra cup of coffee and turn on the television, to not engage in faith in any way, to not find a place of worship and prayer. Many will say that, "Well, I have faith," and I have no doubt that they do in many cases, but for many, both inside and outside the church, faith is no more than this sort of vague sense that there is something out there that is larger than we are. Sad to say, for many of us, faith does not mean a relationship with God. And it's hard to have that kind of faith, the kind of faith that defines who you are, that shapes our foundational attitudes towards life, that defines us by our values and our priorities. For many people, this whole image of a shepherd and sheep just doesn't work for them. It seems inappropriate. In fact, the whole idea is a barrier to their faith. And that is the top of the list, at the top of the list of these barriers, is this Psalm 23. The 23rd Psalm, for many of us, there is a passage of Scripture, no passage more familiar, more beloved. I mean, how could such a beautiful psalm be a barrier to faith? "The Lord is my shepherd, comma, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." If I were to ask you to list your three or four favorite passages of Scripture, I suspect that this would be one of them. In fact, every time that we have a memorial service or a funeral, it is almost universally used in that context. It's a beautiful thing because the psalm has inspired some of our most beloved hymns and choral pieces. Babs, you know, the King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his and he is mine forever. Beautiful, beautiful hymn, the King of Love, my shepherd is. And for some, nothing captures the heart of the faith more beautifully, more profoundly than this psalm. But for others, it's the very reason that they find it a stumbling block to believe. And the 23rd psalm does not stand alone in giving us the image of shepherds and sheep. The first and most disturbing image of the psalm reappears throughout the Bible in important and dramatic ways. Jesus tells his disciples, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The book of Hebrews ends with a blessing. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, make you complete in everything good, so you may do God's will. In 1 Peter, the preacher tells the church, "For you are going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls." Jesus, the shepherd. It's an image familiar since childhood. I can still see the picture in a stained glass in the first church that I served as a solo pastor. In the back of the church during when I was preaching, that's what I could see. It was tremendous, beautiful, large. And it was Jesus carrying sheep. It was Jesus as the good shepherd. And the message was clear. As he carried that sheep on his shoulders, he could carry me too. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Maybe we could understand how this psalm is for many people a barrier to believing if we knew more about shepherds and sheep. I took a group of, I read a story about this one, about some kindergartners going to visit a farm. And it was a working farm, complete with all kinds of tractors and barns and animals. And it became very obvious, very quickly, these kids were way out of their comfort zone. They knew Slurpees and sidewalks and video games. They didn't know about pigs and peacocks and sheep. And at the end of the day, a teacher asked Andre, one of the little energetic six-year-old boys, "What was the softest thing that you touched today?" "The sheep," he replied. And the teacher continued, "Well, have you ever petted a sheep before?" And he looked over at his teacher as if he'd asked Andre if he'd ever walked on the moon. "I've never even seen a sheep before," he said. And it occurs to me that perhaps one of the reasons that some of us love this psalm is that we really don't know sheep. We don't know shepherds either. One of my favorite memories is of Michael at a vacation Bible school. It was really it was a farm theme, and one of our deacons was a local teacher at the high school, and he worked with the agricultural students there. So he got us a whole bunch of animals, you know, and pigs and goats, but they had a sheep. And Michael, one of my favorite pictures, I don't have to carry it with me because I can see it in my head, is Michael is just a little 3 or 4 year old with arms around the sheep, hugging it. I love that so much. But I got to tell you, when it was over with, I asked Steve, the deacon, you know, I thanked him for the animals and told him about the sheep and how great it was, and he told me about sheep. And you're not going to like it. Sheep are dumb. I mean, they're really dumb. Any of you been around them? How many of you grew up with there any sheep? You can testify, right? Are they the dumbest things ever? No, I had a French bulldog that might have been dumber, but that's pushing it. I'm not sure. She was a sweetheart, but she was dumb. They make a mess wherever they go. They pollute their drinking water. They trample their grazing fields. They go where they shouldn't go. They get into things they should stay away from. And when they get into trouble, oh my, what will they ever get into trouble? What do? They just bleat their heads off. They just lay down. You know, one of the stories of the lost sheep in Luke was that when the sheep goes into a pasture and gets lost, the shepherd has to go and find them. Well, you know why? Because when a sheep is in trouble, they just lay down. They'll lay down and die right there rather than try to find their way back. That's how dumb they are. They need a shepherd. And so they just lay there and they just bleat and bleat and bleat and bleat and bleat and bleat. I was going to go bah, 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 but they, you know. Is it goats that bleat and sheep that bah? It doesn't matter. But here's the problem. Because you see, it is we who are the sheep. As Isaiah the prophet put it, all we like sheep have gone astray and have laid on him the iniquity of us all. We've all gone astray. Our iniquity has been laid upon Jesus, who is the good shepherd. Now that is some good shepherd. And the psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. Now, I don't know about you, but I want something all the time. I live in a society that relies on us wanting. I want it to cool off a little bit. I want to go get some lunch. None of us is new to us. We want a new this. We want a new that. We want to get that. We want, we want, we want, we want. So listen to these words by Jason Lehman. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted, the warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted, the colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it's winter I wanted, the beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted, the warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted, the freedom and the respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted, the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle-aged I wanted, the presence of mind without limitations. And then my life was over, and I never got what I wanted. Many years ago, a bumper sticker that rang true to my young ears read, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold, which is so easy to hear and to respond to and say when you're young and single and healthy and not thinking about retirement. But could any of us today say, oh, take it all. I've got Jesus. What more could I possibly need? Psalm 23 gets a little harder to say then, doesn't it? God can hear us all now. Bah, bah, get me out of this. This is getting too hard. Bah, bah. But the psalm goes on. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Now that is more like it, to lie down in green pastures, to be led by still waters, to have our souls restored. Yeah, now that's easy. That's what we want. But not today, God. There's too much work to be done. There's soccer practice, music lessons to take the kids to, so much to do, so little time to do it in. Yeah, Lord, I want to have my soul restored, but could we by chance do this maybe later in the week? It really isn't convenient right now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. The people of Jesus' day could say these words. They knew sheep. They knew what it meant to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. They understood what Jesus was saying about the relationship between himself and his followers when he said, I am the good shepherd. They were not flattered by that. The psalm is a barrier of faith for many because we're not too keen on the idea of having a shepherd. Some of us may not want someone to lead us, someone to tend to us, someone to treat us like a shepherd treats a sheep. We think of ourselves as strong and blunt and self-confident and self-reliant. If something doesn't suit us, by golly, we will let you know. If we are accustomed to getting our way, if we give orders, we expect other people to follow. If we take what we want, if we have powers and don't mind using those powers, we might find it offensive that the Bible persists in describing us as sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, sheep. I am the good shepherd, sheep. The fact of the matter is that some of us don't want to think of ourselves as sheep. We would like to believe that we are self-reliant, able to fend for ourselves. We teach our children to be strong and independent and self-directed. It is so hard for us to admit we need help. We need a shepherd. It is hard for us to admit that we need God. The heart of the problem is that the world would try to convince us that there is nothing that we cannot do for ourselves. Buy the right video, do the right workout, you can have abs of steel. Go to the right seminar, learn the right attitude, we can be successful. Buy a book or two, and we can cure ourselves of the unresolved conflicts in our lives. That is why it is so hard for some to have faith. We live in a world that says that you can do it. You can do it all. You can do it all for yourselves, but sooner or later, I promise you, sooner or later, You will come face to face with the reality that you have been deceived. You will find yourself on unfamiliar ground, lost, unable to find your way back. Things that once seemed so important will no longer matter. Our usual sources of strength and security and meaning seem empty and dry. Sooner or later, most of us discover we desperately need a shepherd. For some of us, it happens in an instance. A couple's called from the hospital, gets a call from the hospital. One of them is a dentist, gifted in research, the kind of person who loves to encounter a problem and fix it. The other is bright, articulate, the kind of person who has life figured out. One day, their son got sick, and they took him to the doctor, who sent him to the hospital. And a few hours later, in the dark of the night, they heard the word, leukemia. That night, there was no solutions to the problems, no pieces to fit together, no rule to tell them what they were supposed to think or to say or to feel. All of a sudden, they were in unfamiliar territory. They were in shepherd country. For others, it's a realization that dawns much more slowly. It comes with time. It comes with age and with experience. We become aware that life is not as neat and orderly as we thought it once was, and not likely to get more ordered just because we want it to be neat and orderly. We realize that life is complex. It's more complex than we could have ever imagined. The world more confusing, more frightening than it ever once seemed. We begin to sense with fear that maybe we're more vulnerable than we ever dreamed that we would be. You look back over your shoulder, and there with the successes are failures and disappointments. Suddenly the future does not seem as secure and predictable as it once did. The landscape seems strange, it seems different, and we find ourselves trying to remember what it felt like when we had everything figured out. That's shepherd country. Sooner or later, for one reason or another, you will come to that place where you are in shepherd country, where you need a shepherd. It's not an easy thing to admit. Some people will resist it to the bitter end, that there are some things that we cannot do for ourselves. When Matthew made the list of those whom Jesus said would be blessed, he wrote at the very top of the list, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit." Another translation puts it better, "Blessed are those who know their need of God." In other words, blessed are the sheep. Blessed are the sheep. If we are blessed, we are strong enough to admit our weaknesses. Is it possible that those who are truly blessed are not those who seem strong and secure, not even those who seem most secure in their faith, those who can quote scripture in every circumstance, those who have the right answer for every question and the right response to every human dilemma? Is it possible that the truly blessed are those who can say, "Lord, I am in a strange and frightening place. I am not sure who I am, where I am. I do not know where I am going. Lord, help me. Lord, lead me. Show me those green pastures. Lead me beside the still waters. Restore my soul, Lord. I am in shepherd country." And the good news is, blessed are those sheep. For those sheep have a shepherd. Do you? Let us pray. Shepherd God, we come to you in this time of quiet gathering over, ever thankful that you lovingly lead us beside still waters. Sometimes we feel that our lives are in such turmoil and confusion, we long to lie down in green pastures. We come needing to be restored, and yet we confess that it isn't always easy to follow your shepherding. It isn't always easy to allow ourselves to be led when we are so used to doing the leading. Restore our trust and faith, O God, as you restore our souls. Lead us along the paths of righteousness and give us the clarity of vision that discerns the way that we should go. Like a blind man, we come today seeking the way out of our personal darkness. Let us feel the touch of clay upon our eyes that we might be healed of all blindness that holds us back and limits our lives. Let your light illumine the dark places in our lives that we might see ourselves as you see us, and that we might envision our future with hope. Enable us to live as children of the light, even as we lift our prayers to you. We lift prayers for our world, for peace among nations and justice for all your children. We lift prayers for our country and its leaders, that they might govern with compassion and understanding. We lift prayers for those people that we know and for those who remain unnamed to us. May the lonely find fellowship, the grief-stricken find comfort, the homeless find shelter, the ill find healing, the angry find inner peace, and those alienated brought back into community. The issues that we face in our world often do not lend themselves to simple solutions. May your rod and your staff comfort us with the promise of your love and your presence in all the times of our lives. As we pass through our personal valleys, may we be led by your light and refreshed by the promise that you are our shepherd still. And now, joining our voices together using the words the great shepherd gave us to pray at moments just as this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.